There's a real absence. If you enter any Catholic church in the coming hours, you'll encounter a void. You'll encounter the absence of Him. He's not there. There is no real presence. He is dead. And it was no stranger that killed Him. It wasn't some invading force that took and killed Him. No, it was much worse than that. It was the one nearest and dearest to Him who killed Him. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called them, the farther they strayed from me. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. As a small child, I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that it was I who healed them. I drew them with human cords, with bands of love. I fostered them like those who raise an infant to their cheeks. I bent down to feed them. How great is the love of our God. My people, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. I led you out of Egypt from slavery to freedom, but you led your Savior to the cross. For 40 years I led you safely through the desert. I fed you with manna from heaven and brought you to a land of plenty. But you led your Savior to the cross. What more could have I done for you? I planted you as my fairest vine, but you yielded only bitterness. When I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar to drink, and you pierced your Savior with a lance. For your sake, I scourged your captors and their firstborn sons. But you brought your scourges down on me. I led you from slavery to freedom and drowned your captors in the sea. But you handed me over to your high priests. I opened the sea before you, but you opened my side with a spear. I led you on your way in a pillar of cloud, but you led me to Pilate's court. I bore you up with manna in the desert, but you struck me down and scourged me. I gave you saving water from the rock, but you gave me gall and vinegar to drink. For I struck down the kings of Canaan, but you struck my head with a reed. I gave you a royal scepter, but you gave me a crown of thorns. I raised you to the height of majesty, but you raised me high on a cross. My people, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. How great is our God's love for us. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. how great is our God's love for us. I have a confession to make to all of you. I'm a bit envious of you in these days. I'm envious of you in these days. In these days in which the readings and the liturgy, they speak for themselves and they provide for us all that's needed. I'm envious of the time that I pray you have to be able to just sit in the midst of it. I'm envious because for any priest, they're very busy times. And this is the richest of any days in the whole church year. But there's one thing. There's one bittersweet grace among others, but in particular on this day, there's one bittersweet grace that a priest has which his people do not. Very soon, all of you will be coming forward on this, the one day of the year in which we adore the cross. We adore the cross as we do Jesus in the Eucharist. Because, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, it was the cross on Good Friday that was soaked in his precious blood. And that gives us this thing through which death was conquered. It opens this path for us to be able to adore even the cross. In a few moments, you'll come forward and you'll embrace the cross. You'll genuflect to it. You'll bow to it. You'll take and you'll kiss the cross. And there's a very delicate point I want to make, and it's this. Second to God, the only one who sees collectively the sufferings that you bear is your priest. The many sufferings that you all bear each day, and the beauty of that bittersweet moment is when you come to embrace and to reverence and to adore the cross, it's a moment in which all your sufferings, all of them, that you yourself are uniting them to him upon the cross. We do things sometimes not even fully understanding what it is, but our actions are more powerful than that. And this action of coming and reverencing the cross is an action in which all the suffering that you bear in that moment is united to Jesus' very cross. And why this is important, everyone, is because all the sufferings that you have, they're not your sufferings. They're not your sufferings alone. Because after the cross, Jesus, what he lifted up upon that cross was every single one of our sufferings. All of it. The weight of all of it. He took upon himself and raised up upon the cross. And what that means is that the sufferings that I endure, they're not my sufferings alone to bear and to carry. But rather, they're his sufferings that he asked me to consent and to lift to him, to give to him, to unite to him. I'll give you an example of a memory that now seems long ago, though it was just over a decade. And it was a Good Friday, and there was a young man in his 20s whom I had gotten to know a couple months prior. He had cancer and was riddled with it, an aggressive form of lung cancer. And in visiting with him, he'd always come back to this phrase of, you know, Jesus gave me these sufferings, I can carry them for him. You know, Jesus gave me these sufferings. I can bear this cross for him. I was like, Stevie, no, that's not what it's about. No, Jesus gave me these sufferings. I can bear them for him. As if Jesus had just sort of given him this heavy cross and said, here, you need to carry this now. This is your great test. But there was something on Good Friday. He was there, and as he came up, he embraced the cross, and for a few moments, which must have been too long for the impatient people waiting behind him, because it's not like I sit there and watch people kiss the cross, but there was like this little bit of a stir of like, what's going on? Is he going to get up? I looked up, and here he was just holding the cross. And then after a few moments, a few beautiful moments, he went back. And something in him had changed. And a few months after that, I would visit him. He was now in the hospital in a bed. And his breathing had become labored. But he had said, you know, on that Good Friday, something struck me. And it was the breathing of Jesus on the cross. And as he was suffering even to try and speak and to explain it with his own breathing belabored, he had said, I now know that it's not me who's struggling for breath, it's Jesus who's suffering in me. It's Jesus who's suffering in me. It's Jesus who's gasping for breath. And it's he who's going to die with me. And I know that dying with him, I'm going to rise with him too. Your sufferings, they were never meant, and they're not meant for you to bear alone. They're not your sufferings. We're not given these crosses to just bear simply for him, but rather with him. And that in every suffering that we endure, it's Jesus who's suffering within us, so deeply united to us that it's in our suffering, it's at the cross where we are given a glimpse and where we're meant to experience the depth of how great our God's love is for us. How great his love is for us. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, for by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.